Okay, this is the last teaching in a series on the Jehovah titles. And what we've been seeing again and again is that God is who he is, and he is never going to change. These Jehovah titles show us who he is to his created beings, who he is as God Almighty toward his creation. These Jehovah titles, looking at each one of them, give us insight into who God is toward us, his covenant people. Tonight, we're in the final part, part 9, Jehovah our Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. And this foundational verse, which we started with at every one of these teachings, is 2 Corinthians 1, verses 19 to 20, which read, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." So all of the promises of God find their yes and amen. In other words, their fulfillment in Christ. All that God had promised from the very beginning was brought to pass through Jesus Christ as the mediator and savior of mankind. So when we're reading in the Old Testament, we read much about what God was to his people, especially the nation of Israel, since they come into play in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. And you see that God favored these people all the way through the Old Testament. Well, what God as Jehovah was to the nation of Israel, he is to us today through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, all that these Jehovah titles communicate in the Old Testament, they also, you see the same pattern in the New Testament writings. As God was Jehovah to his covenant people then, he is to his covenant people today. So, Jehovah being our shepherd is handled very clearly in Psalm 23 in the first verse. And on your paperwork, you have verses 1 and 2, which read, "Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters." Now, this section right here tells us much about Jehovah as our shepherd. To understand this, we have to understand a little bit of what a shepherd is, not in our culture, but in that culture. And as some of us have heard, the shepherds of today in the Western world, we put our sheep in pens and keep them in barns and in corrals and, you know, throw the feed out and keep the water endless so that they don't die of thirst. And that's the way we shepherd today to a large degree. Now, some people actually let their sheep go into fields, and then they know when it's feeding time, and they come back. Or they're corralled by a sheepdog or a man on a horse. But this is very different from the shepherds of the Bible lands. In the Bible lands, there was a herd of sheep that was led by a shepherd. This shepherd would literally lead the sheep. The sheep knew their shepherd, and the shepherd knew the sheep. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and when the sheep would hear that voice, they knew to follow the command of that voice. And when they heard that voice, they would follow that voice until they came to the shepherd, and then they would follow the shepherd. Well, the shepherd knew each one of the sheep by name. And somebody that I knew that went to the Bible lands said that this one shepherd he saw had more than 200 sheep, and he knew them all by name. He had different names for each one of them. He knew each one of his sheep personally. And now this gives us a little background as to the shepherds that we read about in the Bible. Another thing about the shepherds in the Bible, they didn't just turn on, you know, the hose and provide water into a water trough and then, you know, walk away and then the sheep just come and get the water when they're thirsty. That shepherd led those sheep to water so that they could drink. When they would run out of food in a field, then he would lead them to food. In other words, green pastures. So let's read out of Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2 again. It says, Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. To shepherd from the Bible literally means to feed or to pasture. It's all tied in with feeding. Now, this becomes very interesting because the most basic need of sheep is to be fed. So in other words, by saying that a shepherd is one who feeds his sheep, is to say that he takes care of the needs of his sheep. A shepherd tends to the needs of his sheep, which develops intimacy between them. He does this by leading his sheep. The shepherd's responsibilities are twofold. Number one, to feed, and number two, to protect. He feeds his sheep the best quality food that he can find, and he protects the sheep from bad weather and attackers, either of men or of beasts. These two responsibilities are represented by the shepherd's staff. One end of the shepherd's staff has a sickle, or a sharp tool for cutting, so that shepherd can cut down higher branches that have the tender and more succulent leaves on them. Then the other end of the staff is actually a club that's designed to beat off attackers, lions, bears, people, just other animals. In summary, a shepherd takes care of his sheep by feeding and protecting. He just simply takes care of them. He also retrieves the strays. So to see this, there's a reference there in Matthew 18, but let's just look at that reference that's on your paper from Ezekiel 34. Watch this. This is a section about shepherds of the Bible lands. Watch this. It says, For thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep. See, he goes after the sheep. I will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep. Look at how many times it says that. The shepherd seeks out the sheep. We were all sought out by God, saints. How did we hear his word? Because we went begging to him for it? No, he sought us out. And it says, And I will deliver them out of all places, whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, same thing he did with us, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. We've been brought into our own land called the kingdom of God. What a wonderful truth. See, as Israel was promised physical blessings, we are promised spiritual blessings. So you have to correlate that over when you're reading about Israel in comparison to us. And it says, And I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and upon the mountains of the heights of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in a good fold, and on a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will cause them to lie down. Now, why was he saying that? I will be the shepherd of my sheep. Because he had appointed men to watch over his people, prophets and judges and whatnot, even the kings, but he says, I will be the shepherd of my people. It's the same thing today. Men might be in responsible positions of pastoring or teaching or functioning in the body of Christ, but it is God who watches over his people. We must never forget that. And I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord Jehovah. I will cause them to lie down. We read those words. They might not mean much to us. But I used to be joined to FFA. And on this farm that I worked on, we had sheep. and cattle and pigs. And I got to tell you, these sheep were the dumbest animals on the farm. With the pigs and the cattle, you had this water system set up like a pipe going to a little bowl, and there was a flap on it, and when the flap was depressed, then water would come into the bowl. So the pigs and the cattle could figure out, if there's no water in the bowl, depress this little flap with their snout, and it would fill it with water. Not the sheep. They'd die of thirst if they had that system. You had to constantly fill that water trough. Same thing with the feed. You know, as the cattle would eat the feed, then there's this container, and it would drop down. Well, if it would get stuck, they'd bump the container, and the more feed would drop down. But those sheep would just stand there until somebody moved food down to that feeding trough. It's very interesting. Another thing about the sheep was, as soon as you walk on the farm, if you were the first one on the farm, these sheep would start bleating and, you know, making their sheep sounds. And they would get skittish, and they would stand up and walk around, and their ears would go up, and their tails would get pointed, because they're skittish. They're afraid. They know they're a main thing on the food chain. Well, that's what's meant by this phrase here. God says, "I will cause them to lie down," says the Lord Jehovah. A sheep will never lie down unless it's completely comfortable with its surroundings. No threats of attackers whatsoever. God causes his people to lie down, takes away the threats that other people have to deal with. What happens when you lose your job? You know that the shepherd's going to take care of you. You go lie down. Everybody else is frantically running around trying to figure life out. What are they going to do to pay the next bill? We know the shepherd takes care of us, so we just lie down. We know he's going to provide. Wonderful truth. And it further says, "And I will seek that which was lost," which we've seen before. He seeks us out, "and will bring back that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick." Boy, saints, that's the story of our life from our shepherd, Jehovah God. Well, other records give us insight as to shepherds. So I just numbered these for you. The first reference is from John 10. Where it says, "But he," talking about Jesus Christ, "he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out." Doesn't push them. He leads them. "He speaks, and they follow him. When he hath put forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice." Just to make sure we get that point. The sheep follow the shepherd, and they know his voice. See, this is interesting, because the sheep don't build the intimate relationship with the shepherd. It's just the opposite. This intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep develops as the sheep learn to trust the shepherd who loves them. In other words, day by day, as they see that shepherd bring them to greener pastures, bring them to the still water so that they can drink, take care of the sheep when they get wounded, they bind up their wound and, you know, put oil on it and bandage it. Take care of the sheep. If a sheep is that injured, they'll even carry the sheep on their shoulders, as we've seen pictures before. See, the relationship doesn't develop because the sheep decides to develop a relationship. Very insightful point. The shepherd's love for the sheep develop the relationship because the sheep are drawn into the shepherd. It's a wonderful truth. Second reference, also from John 10, where it says, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Wow. The third reference, "He," referring to the Lord God, "will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom." Look at the tenderness and the compassion of a shepherd toward the sheep. "And will gently lead those that have their young." Gently lead those. See, in the top of page 2, the reference number 4. "Therefore, as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of the Messiah. This is from 1 Peter, by the way. And also a participant in the glory about to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you, shepherd God's flock among you. Well, now we understand a little bit more what that means. Feed them, bring them to good food, take care of them, protect them against all onslaughts. Shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely, according to God's will. Not for the money, but eagerly. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Wow. It says here that for those that are pastoring God's people, to be examples to the flock. Again, that the shepherd leads. The sheep that want to follow, follow. The shepherd leads. How does he lead? By example. By example. From Jeremiah 3:15, God says, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Well, if that's not pointed as to what the shepherds of God's people are supposed to feed them. Knowledge and understanding. That's what all of us as God's people need the most, that truth would come into us and we would be enlightened by the truth. So shepherds, feed the flock with knowledge and understanding. The sixth reference. In times past, even when Saul was king, it was you, David, that led out and brought in Israel. Even when Saul was king, David did this. And the Lord your God said to you, you shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over my people Israel. So being shepherd and being prince are used synonymously there. See, they work together. Because to shepherd, you've got to lead. The seventh reference. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep. Wow, never is another pastor called the great shepherd. That's reserved for Jesus Christ himself. Again, now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus. With the blood of an eternal covenant, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. How does he lead? With the blood of the eternal covenant. Saints, he has led us into deliverance from sin. He has led us into salvation. He has led us into victory. He has led us into the promised land, the kingdom of God. How? By the blood of the eternal covenant. And eternal it is. The eighth reference. For you are like sheep going astray. Boy, who's excluded from that statement, huh? You were like sheep going astray, but you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. That, again, is exactly what a shepherd does. And the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the guardian and shepherd of our souls. See, and we have returned. We have returned. We are no longer sheep going astray. So the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep develops into tremendous intimacy and trust, because the sheep, as they follow the shepherd, they learn to trust that shepherd. And as that happens, they learn to completely rely on not their own senses, not their own feelings and emotions, not what they understand, but what the shepherd tells them. As that shepherd leads them in one direction, they know better. Because of the love of the shepherd, not to go a different direction, but to follow that shepherd. With him is the provision. With him is the protection. And they know it. So that phrase, Jehovah, my shepherd, means that I will be supplied with whatever I need. See, Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can now proclaim, God tends to my needs. He leads me. He guides me according to his perspective. I know his voice, the voice of truth. He feeds me with his knowledge and understanding. He protects my life so that nothing shall by any means hurt me. Because Jesus Christ's death reconciled me to God, Jehovah is my shepherd, and I shall not lack anything. That is a just simple confession of truth, saints. Because Jehovah is our shepherd because of Jesus Christ's death, which reconciled us to God. So now we shall not lack anything. That's the shepherd taking care of the sheep. You know, if you would, go back to page 1. And that paragraph or that quote from Ezekiel 34. Watch this. Look at what's underlined there. The first point, I will search for my sheep, says the Lord Jehovah. I will search for my sheep. What does it say we're supposed to do there? Nothing. Doesn't say anything. And it says, and will seek them out. What are we supposed to do so far? Doesn't say anything, does it? As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep. I will deliver them. You getting the picture? The shepherd takes care of the sheep. All the sheep have to do is follow the voice. What is the voice that we are left with in the new covenant? What is the voice we're supposed to follow? The Lordship of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the new covenant. This is the voice of Jesus Christ. This is his voice that we're to follow as the shepherd. What else did he leave us with? Right? Not instructions how to make tunics. It's the new covenant. It's the grace of God. The new covenant realities. It's really a wonderful truth to understand. So back to page 2, where we left off. It says, we are a special people in covenant relation to Jehovah through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the eternal covenant, as we read in Hebrews 13. As a result, Jehovah is eternally toward us all that he is. These Jehovah titles give us insight as to what this means. These sessions have been as follows. The first one gave us the overview truth that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the promises of God, including all that God is in covenant relation to his people. The second session, we looked at Jehovah sees and provides, where even when Abraham didn't even ask for a lamb as a substitute or a ram as a substitute, God provided. Didn't even ask. It's just because Jehovah sees and provides. He knows our needs better than we know to ask for them to be supplied. The third of these teachings, we looked at Jehovah, our health or physician, where he just promises to be that to us, his people, that he is our health, he is our physician. The fourth time we got together, we saw Jehovah is our banner or sign, which means that he ensures our victory over our enemies. And that's especially pointing to the hope, as we saw in that session. The fifth time we got together, Jehovah our sanctification, where we clearly saw that he purified us for divine service. We are acceptable to him because Jesus Christ's blood put us in a new category. Therefore, we are acceptable to him to do the priestly service, to live for God according to what God says he wants to be lived according to, which is the truth. The sixth time we got together, we saw that Jehovah is our peace, which means our completeness, our soundness, our welfare, our wholeness, you know, our provision. A lot of these same truths cross over. The seventh time, we saw that Jehovah is our righteousness, our source for being right and without flaw, stating that it's not ourselves that's the source of being right or without flaw, but he is our righteousness. The eighth time, we saw that Jehovah is there or present, that he is attending. He's right there with each one of us, and he's right there with the church collectively. That he is residing in each one of us and with us collectively, and that he is not absent. In other words, present. And this time, we saw that Jehovah is our shepherd, that he is the one who feeds us and protects us. See, Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. All we need to do is follow, as the song says. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I need to do is follow. So in closing, another way to see this foundational verse for this series, which was from 2 Corinthians 1:19 and 20, that all the promises of God find their yes and amen in Christ. The bottom of page 2 here, I gave you, I think for the first time, Romans 15:8, which says it in a different way. Paul writes, "For I say that Christ has been made a minister to the circumcision for the truth of God, that he might confirm, fulfill the promises given unto the fathers." Does it say some of the promises? No, confirm the promises, referring to the promises given to the forefathers. Jesus Christ fulfilled them. He confirmed them. So again, all the promises of God find their yes and amen in Christ. We just simply look at these promises of what God is to his covenant people as Jehovah. The Jehovah titles make that very clear. So as you continue to ponder these thoughts of who God is as Jehovah to us through Christ, remember that God will never, ever change. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." So as you get to know Jehovah as your shepherd, remember, as he shows you his love toward you, delivers you again and again, protects you again and again, provides for you again and again, that all you have to do is follow. He will continue to lead. All you have to do is follow, and you see, as your heart turns to him, the restoration of your soul. Father, I thank you for the power of your word, that who you say you are to us, your people, Father, that we can bank on it, that we can count on you being all that you are as Jehovah. Father, thank you for the privilege of extending this to all of mankind and not limiting anyone, that you are not a respecter of persons. But Father, you have poured yourself out that all would be drawn unto you. And I pray that the information of who you are, Father, and what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ, for mankind would get out to everyone. And Father, as these Jehovah title teachings are a useful tool, I pray for them to be able to get out there to people that need to hear them. And Father, if there's things that are better arranged that will do a better job, that this falls to nothing, and that we continue to grow up into the greatness, Father, of being refined in truth and being able to communicate it with you and for you as these days get closer to your Son's return. And we look forward to that, Father, with bated breath. And we love you for being who you are to us, your people. You are Jehovah, God Almighty. And we have the privilege of being your covenant people. Thank you, Father, through that powerful and authoritative name of Jesus Christ. Amen.